Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 85, Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva, text number 10. Indriyam Tvindriyanam Tvam,
Indriyam Tvindriyanam Tvam,
Devasta Tadanugraha,
Devasta Tadanugraha,
Avabodho Bhavam Budhe,
Avabodho Bhavam Budhe,
Jivasyanu Smiti Sati,
Jivasyanu Smiti Sati,
Indriyanam Tvat Indriyam Tvat Indriyam Tvindriyanam Tvam,
Indriyam Tvindriyanam Tvam,
Devascha Tadanugraha,
Devascha Tadanugraha,
Avabodho Bhavam Budhe,
Avabodho Bhavam Budhe,
Jivasyanu Smiti Sati,
Jivasyanu Smiti Sati,
Indriyam,
Indriyam,
the power to illuminate their objects,
to
and
Indriyanam,
of the senses,
Tvam,
you,
Devaha,
the demigods, who regulate the various senses,
Cha,
and Tat,
Of
them,
the
demigods,
Anugraha,
the mercy, by which one's senses can act, Avabodha, the power of decision,
Bhavan,
you,
Budhe,
of intelligence,
Jivasya,
of the living entity,
Anusmitihi,
the power of recollection,
Sati,
correct. You are the power of the senses to reveal their objects. The senses presiding demigods and the sanction these demigods give for sensory activity. You are the capacity of the intelligence for decision making and a living being's ability to remember things accurately. Purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that whenever one of the material senses is involved with its object, the presiding demigod of that particular sense organ must give his sanction. Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti explains the word anusmriti in this verse in its higher sense as one's recognition of himself as an eternal spirit soul. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Tadati Svayam Shikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Tinatarinam. Most of us are unaware of the fact that the demigods are involved with anything that we do. Most of us think that we are the doers. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani savasaha Ahankaram itiyam me.
Yes.
No wonder I can't remember the rest of the verse. It's a wrong one. Ahankaram. Vimudhatma Kartaham. I am the doer. But here, Vasudeva is pointing out that actually Krishna is the doer of everything, because he is investing that potency in us, or he's investing that potency in others and then they're bestowing it upon us. So in this particular case, it's mentioned here, you are the power of the senses to reveal their objects. Krishna is the potency within which our senses are able to absorb the information about the objects of the senses. That energy is coming from Krishna, that potency. So the eyes can see form, the nose can smell fragrance, the ear can hear sound, the form of sound. The surface of our skin can feel touch. Our tongues can taste the flavour of the things that we eat and so forth. Water that we drink, for example. So that potency is coming, that potency of the senses to absorb themselves and reflect, if you like, reveal the objects of the senses. That potency is Krishna. Now we don't think about that at all, really. We just do things and it happens without really thinking of how it works. But here there's a further explanation. Not only does Krishna give us that potency, but he also empowers the presiding demigods. It's described, there are 33 million demigods whose business it is to authorize and to sanction and to facilitate action in the creation. And as it is mentioned here, that each sense organ, so the eyes, the skin, the nose, the ears, the tongue, each one of these sense organs is overseen by a particular demigod. That's rather mystical when you think about it. That means that there's a demigod looking after everybody's noses, for example. Now, how that might happen, or how that works, I don't know, so don't ask me how it works, because I don't know. When it's probably as explained it's interesting. These very technical explanations of the manifestation of the creation, coming from the pradhan, which is the unmanifested form of the material energy, then into the mahatattva with the introduction of the spirit soul. When Mahavishnu glances over the material energy, then it's all activated, and that glance is his the act of generation of all of the living entities that exist in the creation. So how all of these things take place, very difficult for us to appreciate, because it's happening on a level of power and potency that's beyond our comprehension. Although there are details given in the third canto of the Bhagavad Gita, in the second canto of the Bhagavad Gita, there are descriptions of how the material creation is manifest. To us it's a mystery. But we can consider it. We can consider this example. A mighty banyan tree comes from a seed which is extremely small. Right? And, you know, it's almost inconceivable as to how is it possible that a huge, huge, big tree can come from just a tiny little seed. Right? But if you got the tiny seed and you put it in the ground and you add the right ingredients, the water, the sunshine, the right temperature as a result, then the little, tiny little seed can sprout and fructify and then grow into a big, yeah, big plant, big tree. Assuming that the correct ingredients are combined together. Right? So similarly, each of the different universes comes out in a seed form, bij form, from the breathing of Mahavishnu. And then from that seed, the whole universe is manifest. Well, so we can conceive of it, at least in this fashion, in a similar way, that just as a big banyan tree can come out as a result of a small seed, so similarly also the universal creation can manifest. Just like, you know, in modern technology, they have compression techniques so that they can compress a lot of information into a small file, and then with the right ingredients, with another program, you can expand it out into its original size. Right? So in this way, it's conceivable, at least how it works. The details, that's another thing. Just as, you know, we're not privy to the algorithms that go into, you know, expanding a certain amount of digital information into a full-sized amount of code. So it's difficult for us to appreciate how Krishna is able to create the universe from a very, very tiny, potent seed into the huge manifestation that we see, and is inconceivable to us even now. So the Bhagavatam gives us hints about how this is possible. In this particular case, there's a description how our sensual activities are controlled by the presiding demigod of each of the sensual organs. And we're only able to act with their sanction. We think we're doing everything, but actually it is all being controlled by somebody else. By more than one controller, obviously. Controller of the nose, controller of the eyes, controller of the ears, controller of the skin. And each one of those personalities gets their potency ultimately from Krishna, as I was explaining yesterday. They're different demigods. Basically, Krishna's servants. We can see that they're servants because they're all serving all of the living entities within the creation. Right? Through their potency, our nose is able to smell things. And they're allowing that. And facilitating that for all of the living entities. So they're servants. Actually, this is the predominant feature of every living entity, practically speaking, other than Krishna, is that they're a servant. We're all servants. That's our main feature. Our prime characteristic is that we're a servant. I don't know if you've noticed. You're serving your wife. Right? Yeah. Or you're serving your husband. If you're not serving your wife or your husband, then you're serving your kids. That's what most people notice. I'm working so hard for my children. And they're spending all of the money. Right? Wait till they become teenagers, then you start scratching your head and you're going, what am I doing this for? I'm working hard for my kids and they're telling me what to do. and they're spending all of the money. Prabhupada says, you know, anybody else would ordinarily be called a thief. So we're servants. If we're not serving our family, if we're not serving the nation, if we're not serving our boss, right, most of the time in our waking hours we're serving the boss. Right? Well, if it's not the boss, we're serving the clients. Right? So we're serving all the time. We're doing some seva. Even when we're sleeping, we're serving the body, serving the mind and the senses, letting the mind have some rest and dreaming about all sorts of things. Or we're serving the tongue, or the belly, or the genitals. Whichever way, and Prabhupada gives the example, you know, this serving propensity is so strong that if somebody doesn't have somebody to serve, then they go and look for something to serve. You know, you see old people, they'll get some dogs. Right? They'll get some dogs and serve the dogs. You see it in Australia, people have to walk around with their dog, and when a dog does his number two, then they have to pick it up. Phew. Horrible. But you know, or they get a goldfish. The propensity to serve is so strong. So the demigods are serving all living entities within the creation on behalf of Krishna by facilitating all of the features of the material creations under their coordination. So they're like they're like God. And in fact the word demigod means like God. That's what it means. They have control. They have power. And they are invested, that power is invested in them, basically because they are responsible servants. They will exercise that power for the benefit of everybody. That's very much a devotee. A devotee utilizes the facilities that are created for them for the benefit of everybody. It's the nature of a transcendentalist, or certainly an advanced transcendentalist. Right? An advanced transcendentalist will utilize the facilities that they're given for the benefit of everybody. Less advanced is one who thinks, I will just use all of this facility for my own spiritual advancement. This is that is an advanced platform, wanting to utilize the human form of life for making spiritual advancement. That's actually quite an advanced level, but it has its stages. And at the beginning stage, the devotee is more concerned about their own liberation than anybody else's. So in one sense it's somewhat selfish that I'm going to make spiritual advancement. Actually, the ability or the facility or the opportunity to make spiritual advancement isn't of our own doing, although we might think it is. It's somewhat of we may think it's something that we have innate within ourselves. Yes, I will now make spiritual advancement. But actually, making spiritual advancement is actually something which is bestowed upon us by Krishna's grace or by Krishna's mercy, actually. But, you know, what was it? Karkaham. I think I'm the doer. But actually, that facility is provided for us by Krishna. Matasmitya jnanam apavanam cha. Krishna says, I bestow upon the living entity remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Right? I actually give that. And here it is mentioned here. Vasudeva is saying, you are the capacity of the intelligence for decision making. So our intelligence is coming from Krishna. Matasmitya jnanam apavanam cha. So our ability to make a decision, to analyze a situation, and then decide what's the best thing to do, ultimately that's coming from Krishna. Mind you, when we make a mistake, also apavanam cha, forgetfulness, that's also coming from Krishna. And we don't like to make mistakes. Right? Making a mistake is bad. Although, you know, it's interesting, in life, generally speaking, we will make mistakes, and very often we learn from our mistakes. Right? We could classify a mistake as being, you know, just an unsuccessful experiment. So anyway, Vasudeva is saying here to Krishna, you are the capacity of the intelligence. Avabodha. Avabodho bhavan buddhe. You are the power of decision, basically. Avabodho bhavan buddhe. Jivasya anusmriti sati. You are the power or the potency to make the right decision. Right? This is important for devotees, actually, because as it is mentioned here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the higher sense, the right decision is to be made based on the understanding that I am a servant, but not that I'm to serve the mind and the senses and all of the other things that we generally find ourselves engaged in service to, but rather Jivera Swarupa Hoy Nityara Krishna Das, that actually my original position or my identity is as a servant of Krishna. That's where real intelligence comes in, or real discrimination. Real discriminating power comes in making decisions based on the correct understanding, which ultimately is given to us by Krishna, that I'm not this body, that I'm actually spiritual by nature. That I'm being spiritual by nature and being a servant based on this principle that we're all servants, that I should serve Krishna. This is real. The proper use of intelligence is to ensure that our decision making is based on the essential principle that I'm a servant of Krishna, and that my decision should be in choosing to serve, to use my senses, to use my intelligence, to use any prana or energy potency that I have, and all of the facilities that come beyond that, money, intelligence, influence, all of these things should be used in service to God, basically. Service to Krishna. Now, how does one come to that conclusion? One comes to that conclusion as a result of the mercy of Krishna. So that also comes from Krishna. Usually, that mercy manifests in the form of the devotees. Right? And especially those devotees who have this mood of, rather than just making spiritual advancement for myself, I want to see others also make advancement. Right? This is the nature of the Madhyam Adhikari. And of course we're all recommended to come to that platform of, you can come, there's heaps of room here, rather than all sit at the doorway. So, the Madhyam Adhikari is a devotee who recognizes Krishna, who renders service to Krishna. So he understands, I'm not this body, I'm spiritual by nature, and I'm meant to serve Krishna. I'm going to serve somebody. Whatever I do, I'm going to be a servant. We can't, you know, you can't, it's, servitorship is like liquidity is to water, or sweetness is to sugar. You cannot take that, you can't take sweetness out of sugar. If you take sweetness out of sugar, then it's not sugar anymore. So you can't take the servant out of the living entity. You can't take it out of him, because that's his nature, or her nature, depending on what body you've got. You cannot take out this servitorship. The only thing is that it can either be servant of God, right? Or as Prabhupada says, servant of dog. Pick up your dog's poo, basically. So what do we want to do? And that potency or that ability to remember things accurately and to make the correct decisions, to make the right choices, comes from Krishna. That's what Vasudeva is saying here. To make the correct decision. So the correct decision is to, you know, always remember Krishna and then engage our activities in Krishna's service. The nature of the Madhyam Bhakta is always trying to engage himself in Krishna's service. And so that's one of the reasons why they take advantage of the association of other like-minded personalities. Because if you associate with materialistic people, then what happens? You become materialistic. It's one of the big challenges, especially for the householder community, because, you know, in order to get a job and to maintain a family and so forth, you have to go and work. And generally speaking, who are you working with? Sangat sanjayate karma. By association, one develops the same kind of desire. So we're associating with materialists, and so what does that mean? What happens when you associate with materialistic people? Huh? Yeah, you become a materialist too. That's why we choose. I don't want that kind of association. I much prefer the association of the devotees. Why? Because the devotees are not interested in the asa, the temporary, which basically means misery. You know, you may be temporarily be happy with your new Mercedes. Right? But when you get the bill for the repairs to it, then you become very unhappy. Huh? Well, just like that family yesterday, a tragedy actually. They just bought their new motor cruise, you know, their launch, their new cruiser, their new boat, right? And they were just going to enjoy a day on the bay in their new cruiser. And then they filled it up with petrol, turned on the ignition, and boom! And the couple who bought the boat was standing right on top of the petrol tank. So, and they said there's nothing left of the boat. Just the turning on the ignition sparked the whole thing off. So the two, you know, they were happy, thinking, yeah, we've got our new boat, we'll go and enjoy the day. And then what happened? Kaboom! Just blew up. That's what material life is like. And Prabhupada was saying, you may think that you're not near death. We may think we're not near death. He said, everybody is so close to death. Right? Just like Ravan said to his brother. What's his brother's name? Vibhishan. Vibhishan came and he was holding Ravana's feet and he begged him, please give Sita back to Ram. This will be your destruction and our destruction. Please give. And Ravan kicked him. Well, you've taken the side of the enemy. Kicked him. But he kept holding onto his feet. And then Ram said to him, "Death is hovering over your head today." Threatening him. Huh? Death is hovering over everybody's head, actually. This is the nature of the material world. So the devotees are not interested in associating with those who are absorbed in the asat, because they know sooner or later it's going to blow up in their face. Huh? Material life is just going to blow up in our face. And that's why we still do our duty. We have to do our, you know, we have our family, we have our responsibilities. We have to go to work, we should save our money, we should do all of those things. But the bhakti yogi does these things with a sense of detachment. Right? With jnana, with knowledge, with a proper understanding of things. That my efforts and endeavours, in the end, ultimately they'll come to naught. In the material creation, everything comes to naught. But I have my duty to perform. And I'll perform my duty with detachment and with the mood of offering it all to Krishna. This is the nature of the devotee. And by so doing, that's my purification. That's my service. Even for the householder. The householder acts in a renounced mood, if you like. Actually, Prabhupada says, actually, Grihastha is a brahmachari. You know, he's not engaged in sense gratification. So basically, he's like a brahmachari. And that's an austerity. And ultimately, his purification. So that's why the renounced householders like to associate with other similarly minded people, and even with the sannyasis and the spiritually advanced, spiritually advanced, because spiritually advanced means, yes, I give up my attachment to these material things which I know ultimately will bring misery. Adyanta vata kunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Is what Krishna says in the fifth chapter?
Fifth chapter.
22nd verse. It's always good to have Chandra Balabi here for your authoritative statements. In fact, I needed you last week when you weren't around. It was very embarrassing for me. So, devotees are interested in sat, the satam prasangam mama virya sambhido, in the association of the devotees, or those who are interested in the permanent. The permanent means getting some understanding of my spiritual identity, making the right decisions, making the right choices, so that I further establish myself in Krishna consciousness, in an understanding, you know, I'm not the body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm a servant of Krishna. That's why we perform sacrifice. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. The whole purpose of, you know, I figured it out, or it occurred to me. The reason why in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about sacrifice is because sacrifice is encouraged for everybody. Initially, sacrifice is performed so I can get something for myself. Huh? I worship the demigods so that I can be elevated to a higher position, or I worship the demigods so that I can be prosperous and wealthy in my business, and my family can be well taken care of, well educated, or I can get a higher birth, I can go to the heavenly planets. Basically, the performance of sacrifice is encouraged so that one can get something for themselves. When one comes to the understanding, when one elevates, so this is karma yoga in one sense, or karma kanda. But that's not actually the purpose of sacrifice. It just encourages one to at least behave in a religious way to get the one's material desires fulfilled. When one associates with the devotees and associates with the shastra, and just acts in the material world, one sooner or later realizes, hang on a second, the material world is a dud. Right? I got my new boat, I switched on the ignition and it blew up. Right? Or if, you know, that's sort of like instant karma, but over a period of lifetimes, the living entity realizes, I got birth in heavenly planets, but now I find myself back in the body of a dog. Right? Brahmanda, what is it? Brahmanda Bhumite? Is it? No. Konabhagyavana Jeev. Right? We go up and down, it's Prabhupada explains, like a Ferris wheel. One minute you're on top of the Ferris wheel and you think, whoa, we're having a great time here. I can see everything. And then the next minute you're down at the bottom in the pits of the carnival atmosphere. Right? All the time we're thinking that we're enjoying, but we're just going around and around and around. And in the process, suffering birth, death, old age, disease. So after a while, the living entity thinks, is this all there is? The material world is just a place of suffering. There must be something better. And so for such an aspirant, for somebody who aspires for something better, then the purpose of Jagya is actually revealed. The same activities can actually be performed when the focus is on being detached from the things of the material world and performing the sacrifices with a goal for achieving some spiritual or transcendental knowledge. Then the real purpose of Jagya is realized. Because the real purpose of Jagya is for our purification, for controlling the mind and the senses. So this is what the devotees do. They recognize, well, yes, pursuits in the material world are futile or fruitless, ultimately, but let me perform my duty according to my position, and so therefore we have, you know, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, and we have shudra, vaishya, kshatriya, brahmana classifications, so that we know how we should behave, and then we act according to those guidelines for our purification. That's the sacrifice. We still go about doing, the devotee looks like he's doing exactly the same activities as the kami, but the kami is acting for his own personal sense gratification, whereas the devotee changes that. And he realises, okay, and that's why, you know, in the early years of his preaching in ISKCON, Prabhupada encouraged the devotees, don't give up what you're doing, just dovetail it and do it also with Krishna in mind. Right? So do it thinking, yes, I'm going to offer this to Krishna. The end result needs to be offered to Krishna. So therefore, you know, the sacrifice is we work, but then we give some portion the results of our activities for preaching Krishna consciousness. That's an example of sacrifice. Or we have our families, but then we train our children so that they also understand the principles of sacrifice and the principles of devotional service. And so many other examples. Even when we go to work, we can be working for the boss, so to speak, but at the same time we have an opportunity to give others information about Krishna consciousness. That's the nature of the madhyam bhakta. He's not just interested in his own advancement, but he's also interested in the advancement of others. So, that ability to remember things accurately, and basically what do we need to remember? We need to remember Krishna. It's recommended by Rupa Goswami. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. All of the rules and regulations in the nectar of devotion, basically, for us, that prescribe how to behave as a devotee, they're all meant to serve that purpose. To remember Krishna and never forget him. If you're remembering Krishna, then what does that mean you remember? I'm Krishna's servant. And as Krishna's servant, that means I should do some service. So that facility or that ability ultimately comes from Krishna. But especially in the context of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that gift of Krishna comes from the devotees. Guru Krishna Prasad Poi Bhakti Lata Beej. Right? We've Mamanda Bhumite Kona Bhagavanaji. We've been floating around in the material creation for how many births? Who knows? We don't. But we've been here for a long time. And somehow, by the grace of Krishna, this is how Krishna gives us this ability, he arranges so that we meet the devotees. And then, in the association of the devotees, we are again reawakened to our spiritual practices, to our Krishna consciousness, so that we start making the right decisions. Yes, I'll do this for Krishna, I won't do it for myself. There's a big responsibility. Actually, this is the responsibility. Prabhupada says, you know, in the animal form of life, if the animal drives on the wrong side of the road, who cares? Right? He's just an animal, he doesn't know. But if a human being drives on the wrong side of the road, through the red light, doesn't stop at the stop sign, then he gets pulled up there and gets given a ticket. You're not behaving properly. So in the human form of life, more responsibility than in the animals. And the responsibility is, especially for the devotees, is to make the correct decisions so that one always keeps oneself in the state of remembering Krishna and engaging in devotional service. This is the advantage of associating with the devotees, that one gets this ability to make the right decisions, to make the correct decisions. And ultimately that capacity is coming from Krishna. Krishna mentions Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Jainamamapuyanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted to me, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So when one gets the association of the devotees and the opportunity to render devotional service, then by constantly engaging in that devotional service, then eventually Krishna is giving the intelligence to the devotee, as is mentioned here. You are the capacity of the intelligence for decision making and a living being's ability to remember things accurately. Matasmiti Jnanam Apavanam Cha, in the 15th chapter. Right? For me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. And for those who engage in devotional service constantly, then Krishna gives them the intelligence, supports the devotee. And that's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says here, Anushmiti, in this verse, in its higher sense, is one's recognition of oneself as a spirit soul. That means as a servant. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
The capacity to make the right decision from Krishna to servant. So where is the capacity to make the wrong decision from?
Well, they go together as two sides of the same coin. You cannot serve two. You have a choice. I'm too tired, I'm going to bed. Or whatever. Whatever your choice may be. That's why we stay in the association of devotees, because very often, you know, that kind of association, we don't have a choice. Come, remove, let's go. Alright. So we get caught up in the, as I say, get fired up. But inherent within choice means one side or the other. Right? You have the choice. You could walk out of the temple today and go and do some nonsense. Right? That's your choice. You don't think about that because you've made a choice already. That's why I said, you know, sometimes the devotees say, Ishkan's voluntary, you know, I don't have to do it if I don't want to. But actually, if one has taken shelter of the spiritual master and has decided to serve him, your choice is already made. That's when you made the choice. Of course, we have to adjust things practically to suit our personal, proclivities and the situation and so forth. But generally speaking, once we've made the choice to serve the spiritual master, then our choices are then basically, which service will I do? To serve Krishna. They're the types of choices that we make. Not, well, today what will I do? Oh, I think I'll go and watch the footy. I remember when I first joined up, for me, Sundays was something which you did nothing. That was, you know, that's Aussie culture. Sunday's the day after Saturday and you don't do anything. And then Cornwall would just round us up, come on, into the kitchen, cook the Sunday feast. So we're all into the kitchen. I think, oh, gee, these guys work hard. Every day, work hard. But that's the choice you make. If you move into the Brahmacharya ashram, then your choice is to serve Krishna. Which service do you want to do? Not that, oh, today I won't do anything. Although, you know, we do have recreation. We can, and resting. Resting is allowed and is part of devotional service. Huh? Because if you don't get enough rest, then eventually you'll become an emotional wreck and you won't be able to do anything. There was a nice article in one, I think on Thunderbirds, about having enough rest, getting enough sleep. And as we've been discussing, sleep, we've discussed before, sleep is actually the function of the intelligence. If you have a good sleep, then you're able to work out, oh, I'll do this or I shouldn't do that. If you haven't had a good sleep, then you can't work out anything properly. You ever felt like, you know, you wake up in the morning and you just feel like a zombie? Nothing's working. You're just sort of in an automatic pilot. That's a good indication you haven't had enough sleep. Prabhu?
One form of torture is sleep deprivation.
Yeah. Form of torture is sleep deprivation.
One loses his deliberate intent.
Yeah. That's just make loud sounds all the time. That's how in interrogating the enemy, that's how you break them down. Don't let them have enough sleep. But yes, we have choice. But mostly we've made the choice already. Our choice is, I want to serve Krishna. So then it's just a matter of choosing which service I'm going to do.
Lord Krishna's just Vasudev here, or Vasudev is speaking to Lord Krishna?
At the moment, Vasudeva is offering prayers to Krishna. So Krishna's instructions come later. At the end of this, Krishna says, having heard his father's words, the Supreme Lord, leader of the Satpatas, replied in a gentle voice as he bowed his head in humility and smiled. My dear father, I consider your statements appropriate since you have explained the various categories of existence by referring to us, your sons. Not only I, but also you, along with my respected brother and these residents of Dwarka, should all be considered in this same philosophical light. I best of the others, indeed, we should include all that exists, both moving and non-moving. The Supreme Spirit, Paramatma, is indeed one. He is self-luminous and eternal, transcendental and devoid of material qualities, but through the agency of the very modes he has created, the one supreme truth manifests as many among the expansions of those modes. And then Devaki speaks. And she offers her prayers. And then I think she asks for, yeah, she asks for the return of her dead son. So even though it says Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva, he only speaks about three verses, most of it's prayers. Well, and then there's by Vasudeva, then Krishna and Balaram go and visit Bali Maharaj to get the sons back from the hellish planets. So it's called Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva, but that's only three verses or four verses.
In first canto, Kunti indirectly prays to Krishna because she is Krishna's maternal aunt, so she doesn't want to directly offer prayers to Krishna. So in the same line, doesn't Vasudeva or Devaki feel the same thing, that he is my son, so how can I offer prayers to him?
The reason why Vasudeva can offer prayers to Krishna, as I understand it, is because he's just had the association of the sages. And the sages have all described the qualities of Vasudeva. Vasudeva, if you like. Yeah, of Krishna. Right? And so he's, by that association, he now has a very different view of Krishna in this particular setting. And so therefore he's natural paternal vatsalya relationship has been covered for some time, while he's seeing Krishna in this new light of the vision of the sages who have visited Kurukshetra for the dasha of Krishna and Balaram. Actually, that's what they came for. So Vasudeva, and in fact Vasudeva, he says, I am cursed by this material attachment of seeing my family members as mine. And he prays, please let me be rid of that. We were discussing that the other day. But actually his attachment for Krishna is not it's not a mundane material, it's actually the right kind of attachment to have. That relationship that he has with Krishna is very special and unique and is praiseworthy and admirable and desirable by all of the devotees. But at this particular point in time, and this is more capable for somebody like Vasudeva rather than say Nanda Maharaj. So he's able to see Krishna and Balaram in this particular light, in this particular perspective, for the moment, it appears, as a result of the association of the sages who have given him these instructions. So seeing Krishna in that way, that's the power of association. Huh? Ordinarily they see Krishna and Balaram as their sons, but the sages have come along and given this whole new perspective on the things. Anything else? Yes. I can't hear. Yes.
You were mentioning that shloka, that the condition was that.
Yes. Yeah.
Only after Guru and Krishna
were. Yeah. Yeah.
Who among all these conditions would become eligible to become
who?
Who becomes eligible out of these countless conditions?
One who's very fortunate. That's what it says, that's what the sloka says. One who's very fortunate. So we sometimes become complacent or familiar with our position as a devotee, but when you look around, you can see that actually not everybody, many, many people get an opportunity. Right? Many people get an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. Many people. We have Harinam, we do book distribution, we distribute prasadam. You know, we're giving so many people an opportunity, but how many actually seriously come to Krishna? Only a very, very fortunate few. That's why Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Hardly one even is inclined to pursuit of the Absolute. Everybody else is caught up by the illusory offerings of the material energy. And they think even that the offerings of the devotees are the same thing, right? When they get an opportunity to engage in devotional service, they just have the same kind of mentality. Oh, this is just another thing that's been offered by everybody else. You can choose it or not. Your choice. Your choice. One choice is as valid as another, so that's your choice. Oh, good. That's very good. Only here, that's not recommended. Because also, you know, the facility or the ability to make the right choice comes from Krishna, but the facility and the ability to make the wrong choice also comes from Krishna. Just see how Krishna is able to facilitate and reciprocate with all of the desires of all of the living entities. Some don't want to surrender to him just yet, right? Actually, we're all surrendering to Krishna at any time, but either directly or indirectly. So those who choose to ignore him surrender to him indirectly through the workings of the material energy, and off they go. And in one sense, they're satisfied doing that. They're happy doing that. Huh? Temporarily happy doing that. Whereas the devotees they really have Krishna's mercy. That's their good fortune. And you know, we're very fortunate because we have the good fortune of the Sankirtan movement. We have the good fortune of, we have the mercy actually of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Panchatattva, Lord Nityananda. And somehow or other, we don't know why or how, but somehow or other we have the good fortune to be where we are. And I said the other day, why now? Why 2008? I used to think like that. Why Lord Chaitanya? Why now? Why Krishna? Why me? How did this all happen? And then we can understand, actually, the devotees can understand that that's Krishna's very kind blessings on the devotee. Very kindness on us. Basically, we came in the material world to enjoy separately from Krishna. And somehow or other, Krishna diverted us in the right direction. If we had our way, we'd be doing some who knows what. But fortunately, somehow by Krishna's grace, we got pointed in the right direction. Anything else? Yes, Mamaji. Bhaktavatsala. What? Give us some more information. It seems like a seed or a bij form that needs to be expanded. Yeah, Krishna likes to look after his devotees. Is that what you mean? Yeah. But sometimes the devotees don't want to. Just like the father wants the child, you know, is interested. The father has the child's best interest at heart, but the child thinks that they know better. Huh? It's time to go to bed. No, I don't want to go to bed. It's time to have dinner. I'm not hungry. It's time to go to school. School? I don't want to go to school. You don't like me. You're always telling me what to do. Yeah? I didn't ask to be born. Why don't you leave me alone? Go to school. It's good for you. We're not allowed to teach anymore, but all right, then we should finish it. Thank you, Raj Srimad Bhagavatam. Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.